Amen. Well, good morning, Second Baptist. I hope everybody's doing well. That announcement that Easter is next Sunday just blows my mind. That it seems, you know, the year's already flying by. You know, so that's the bad news is that spring break is over. Once you're old, right? It's like, what's spring break? I mean, if you got to work, you got to work. It's mainly for the kids. But the good news is that spring is here, and better weather. You know, being from California, the spring isn't really as pronounced as it is here. I was pretty much blown away when I experienced my first spring here in Arkansas. Just I was walking through a trail, and you know, the sun was coming up, and I could see just all of this thick foliage and leaves and all of this, these, you know, trees and flowers and weeds come to life, and it was beautiful. And that's what spring is, right? It's full bloom. And as you guys know, we're coming to the end of Hebrews, and if I could describe it in studying, I think that's where we are. It's full bloom now, because reading through the letter, we've done all the groundwork of learning those biblical truths of doctrine and instruction, and now there's that pivot for us to take all of that, and it's the conclusion, right? What are we going to do with it? And so he's very clear on giving us application instruction. So today I'm going to share with you on Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. That's Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. And this is what the Bible says. It says, "Through him then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Reading these two verses, I think that the key word that we want to focus in on is the word sacrifice. A lot of times I think sacrifice, it just gets compartmentalized in the kind of Old Testament theology section of the brain. We hear the word sacrifice and we kind of check out a little bit. Sacrifice simply means to give up or offer something in exchange for something else, usually of higher value. But when I hear the word, I guess I go back to Sunday school and I just see an older guy with a beard and priestly garb, and he's got a knife, and you know, he's gonna sacrifice something, almost like Abraham and Isaac or something like that. Maybe you hear the word sacrifice and you think of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, the Savior of the world. All very true. Interesting that the Hebrews, the Jews, when they read this and they heard the word sacrifice, it all made sense to them. They were perfectly tracking, because that was in their vernacular. Ever since they were just, you know, in their Sunday school, they were taught the sacrificial system. So they knew all of the sacrifices and all of the ordinance. And I think sacrifice was like really a part of their daily lives. But now we're reading, the word is saying, let us offer a sacrifice of praise to God. And they might have been like, sacrifice of praise? That's not in the Torah. You know, that's not in Leviticus. What is this new sacrifice of praise? They needed to understand that because of the cross, the sacrifice work was making a big change, right? It was out with the old of the blood of the bulls and the goats, and it was in with the new. Now our sacrifice would be of praise and of thanksgiving to God for all that he's done. And that still applies to us today, right? It still applies to us today, this sacrifice of praise. The Father offered up his son and gave his life. And And because of that, we have chosen to meet with him outside the camp, to feast with him, is kind of what we were learning. Basically, we are willing to suffer for the greater reward of feasting with him. We're willing to sacrifice, right? We're willing to be in obedience. We're willing to deny the flesh because we want to have a sacrifice of praise. We want our lips to be that fruit that gives allegiance to his name, that gives him thanks. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for saving me. Continually, every day, that's what it says, right? It says, the fruit, let us continually offer a sacrifice. And it's we can't overlook this part because I think, you know, sacrifice of praise, giving thanks, but it says every day, not just on Sundays, not just every day. In Luke 17, we see the story of the 10 lepers. I don't know if you guys know that story. It's a great little story. And Jesus, it says Jesus is traveling and he enters a city and immediately he meets 10 lepers and they say, Master, cleanse us, clean us. And Jesus says, go on your way and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went on their way, they were healed. Let's pick up in verse 15. Luke 17, verses 15, this is what it says about one of the lepers, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? The other 9, they had more important things to do. It was, thank you, Jesus. All right, bye. I'll see you later. But of this one leper, it says that he stopped and he turned back to go find Jesus and to give him thanks and to praise him. I think for us, a lot of times, you know, that's how we have to be in our lives daily. Before I go and do this thing, I got to stop and make sure I spend a little time with God. Before I let the busyness of life and the schedule and the to-do list take over, I got to stop and give my praise to the Lord. Remember what he's done. Put him first. Put him at the top of the list, right? Giving praise and giving thanks to him. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of our time. It's a sacrifice of energy. It's a sacrifice of a lot of things. Verse 16, this is the next part. And it says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. It's basically saying that we should do good and that we should share what we have with others. Interesting that the first sacrifice that we saw, it's a vertical sacrifice. It's between us and the Lord, right? And then this next sacrifice, it talks about our fellow man. It's a horizontal component between us and others that we should bless, that we should do good to our family. We should do good to our neighbor. We should share what God has given us with other people. You see, it's not all just theological theory. It's not about us just locking ourselves in a prayer closet and being isolated from others. We have to be involved in the life. We have to be willing to get our hands a little dirty, right? Life is messy, you know? And that's what it says. It says that, like we were saying, we have to be willing to make that sacrifice. Now, again, for the Jews, the Hebrews that read this, because they were leaving Judaism for their faith in Christ, they were now facing persecution. They were actually in poverty. You know, they actually were hungry, and some of them maybe didn't have house. So he's saying, hey, share what you have with others. Share your earthly goods, you know. Make sure your brother has something to eat. He has a place to stay. Now, here in America, most of us aren't facing material poverty. But you know what? There's a lot of emotional poverty. There is a lot of spiritual poverty. This is the thing, that people are very broken. I'll say that again. There are people that are very broken, that are hurt, that are lost. And so we are called to share the good news. We are called to share a good word with somebody. We are called to just, you know, share a hug. Just share some time. Share a sandwich, a cup of coffee. Say, how are you doing today? Tell me what's going on. Because that is what it's all about. That we, as the mature, as we're striving to be mature and loyal to our Lord, we're called to shepherd, help, and love, and bless the immature. Brother Blake's going to come up here now, and he's going to share as well on another sacrifice. And I just hope that you can take away today that that's our goal as we're finishing Hebrews. This is the full bloom of our faith, right? That we are giving that sacrifice to God and sacrifice to others. Brother Blake. Amen, brother.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says this: obey your leaders and submit to them. And the reason why, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. At the age of 13, I played Little League baseball for Garfield Park. And at the end of that season, I made the All-Star team. And during that All-Star tournament, we played against another team from Southport. Southport is a small suburb of Indianapolis. And I was the catcher for Garfield Park. And I don't want to brag or I don't want to boast, but my trash-talking skills at that time, they were pretty good. And so every time a player from Southport would come up to bat, I was behind the plate and I would say everything I could to get under their skin. I wanted to distract them. I wanted to make them angry. I wanted to make them mad. And I succeeded in this job. How do I know this? Because at the end of the game, every player from Southport wanted to do me harm. And to be honest, I was not concerned. I was not frightened at all because I knew that I was under the protection of my teammates, my friends, my teammates. We were all kids from the south side of Indianapolis. And south side kids are kind of like those kids from Donaldson, right? They know how to fight. They're rough and they're tough. And so I really wasn't concerned about the Southport players. But at the end of that summer, my family and I, we moved away and I was forced to go to another school. What school did I go to? It would be Southport Middle School. And the very first day I walk into class, the very first period of that day, in the back row were six of those ball players that I was talking trash to just weeks earlier. I immediately recognized them. And they immediately recognized me. And so I'm this tough and rough kid from Indianapolis. So what did I do? I sat in the front row and I kept my mouth shut. I didn't say a word. But I understood in that moment that I was all alone. I was isolated from my teammates. I was isolated from all my friends from Garfield Park. The protection that I once had underneath them no longer was profitable to me. And really, that's what this verse is talking about here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, that God has placed certain men. Specifically, God has placed this pastoral staff into your lives for your protection. And what exactly are we protecting? We are protectors. We are called to be protectors of your souls. And that's what this verse says. Obey and submit to your leaders, for they keep watch over your souls. And when we read that word soul, we think about the salvation experience that we had when we first accepted Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. But that's not what this writer is referring to here in this verse. That's not what Hebrews is all about. It was written to Christians who have already accepted Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. We know that Hebrews is all about our endurance. It's all about our perseverance. So yes, it is our desire as your pastoral staff to lead others to Christ. And when we have that opportunity, there is great joy in our hearts. We celebrate that. And the Bible says that all of heaven celebrates that with us as well. But we also understand for that new believer, that is the beginning, that is not the end. And so your pastoral staff, we labor relentlessly in teaching you the whole counsel of God, the entirety of the Bible, all of God's word, so that when trials come, right, when heartaches come, when hardships come, when sufferings come in this life, and we know that they will, you will not waver from the faith. And so that is our desire, to equip you with the proper tools necessary to for you to remain faithful, for you to remain loyal to Jesus Christ. It is our goal. Our goal is your unwavering loyalty to Jesus. And we do not take this responsibility lightly, for we know that the souls of the men, women, and children under our care, they are at stake. And so the mature Christian, when they read this verse, the mature Christian, they don't have a problem with these two words, right? They don't have a problem with obedience and submission. They understand to submit to godly leaders, leaders that are loyal to God. They understand that submitting to these godly pastors in their life is the same as submitting to God themselves, because the words that we teach, the words that we preach, they are not our own. They are God's words, and they are good words, and they are for your protection. And so the mature Christian understands that. It's for their protection, and it is for their profit. Just like Brother Danny said earlier, the Bible is more than just studying it to gain this head knowledge. The Bible is more than just studying it to memorize or remember Bible verses or recite Bible stories. The Bible is meant to be applied and lived out in every area of our life. And so if you want profitable friendships, we learned about that last week. Apply Hebrews 13, verse 2 to your life. You start being hospitable to others. You start spending and investing your time in the lives of others, and you'll have profitable friendships. You want to have a profitable marriage, then apply Hebrews 13, 4 to your life. Start holding your marriage in high honor. Don't defile your bed. Be faithful to your spouse, and you'll have a profitable marriage. These spiritual truths, these spiritual principles that we teach you, they produce physical profit in every area of your life. And so that is our pastoral aim, that you live a very profitable life. And when you live these biblical principles out in your life, it gives your pastoral staff great joy. And so really the reason that so many people struggle with this verse, to obey and to submit to your leaders, to obey and to submit to your pastors, the reason why they struggle with this verse is because pastoral authority has been abused by so many. Instead of building up their congregations, there's too many pastors out there trying to build up their own name. Instead of building up their congregation, they're building up themselves, followers of themselves, instead of followers of Jesus. There's pastors out there that teach biblical truths, that teach biblical principles, but they do not live them out in their own personal lives. Listen to me this morning. These are not spiritual leaders, right? The Bible does not call these spiritual leaders. The Bible calls these men false teachers. These are wolves in sheep clothing. You do not submit to these men. You do not obey these men. You flee from these men. But this verse that we're studying here this morning, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it's given in the context of loyal leaders being loyal to God by being loyal to their congregation. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says this: "Remember those who lead you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. And so that's what a loyal leader is. That's what a loyal leader does. They don't get up here and speak their own opinions. They don't get up here and push their own agenda. They speak the word of God. True biblical spiritual leaders, true biblical spiritual pastors, they exemplify good godly characters in their life. They practice what they teach. They have a faith worth imitating. And so the question you must ask yourself this morning is, do we have these types of leaders in place here at Second Baptist Church? Do we have these types of pastors here in place at Second Baptist Church? Do we teach the Word of God? Do we exemplify godly character in our lives? Do we have a faith worth imitating? If the answer is no, then you have full right to get rid of us, right? Send us on our way and you replace us with good, godly leaders. But if the answer is yes, the Hebrew writer is saying to his readers, and God is saying to you this morning, obey and submit to these men. Obey and submit to these pastors. Why? Because it is for your protection and it is for your profit. Brother Joey said last week that chapter 13 of Hebrews is all about loyalty, and he's correct. We strive to be loyal to you, be loyal to us, and in doing so, we're all loyal to God. But to do the opposite, to disobey, to defy, to grumble against the pastors that God has put in place, that God has put in place to watch over your souls, you have now isolated yourself from our protection, and the word of God is of no profit to you. And we don't want that here at Second Baptist Church. Allow us to pastor with great joy, knowing that our ministry is not in vain. Obey and submit to your pastors, for they keep watch over your souls.
Good morning. We will continue on in our reading. You know, I begin to ask myself this week, you know, why this loyalty and maturity, and we understand that when we're loyal to each other, we're in this together. We have a saying, we are together, right? Well, it goes both ways. It goes both ways, and this book is teaching maturity, and again, we're coming to the end, and we're talking about leadership here and how you do have that good character, and you lift each other up, and you love each other. And listen, these should just be natural things. The writer, he says, look, we got to move on from the elementary teachings. Look, this should be natural to you that you forgive, right? It should be natural that you pursue these things. And when it comes to leadership, it should be a natural thing that you pray and that you lift your leaders up and that you obey your leaders because you have that trust knowing that they are also praying for you. They are lifting you up. They are building you up. He uses all through Scripture, we see where he says, these men are teaching you Scripture. Now look, it's not just to teach you to sit here in a pew. That's what this whole book, we're coming to the end. What are you going to do with it? Because you see, even as a staff as large as ours, we cannot disciple everyone in our church. We cannot reach Malvern for you. It is you, the believer, like in Hebrews. Now, what are you going to do with it? Who are you reaching outside these walls with the gospel and then bringing in here with you, and you are discipling? You are helping us teach. You are pulling them aside. You see, these pastors in this wording here, we're going to read, they have chosen this life. They've chosen it. Even Timothy says it's a good thing when a man desires the office of a pastor, but it's tough. It's hard. Just like when you chose to be a child of God, there's a lot of sacrifice that comes with that also. It goes both ways. So what does this conduct look like? Let's continue reading in verse 18. He says, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this so that I may be restored to you sooner. Verse 20, again, he's going to start reaching back. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory forever and ever. Amen. It says, but I urge you, brethren, to bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Take notice that your brother Timothy has been released, which whom he comes soon. And he says, and I will see you. Greet all of your leaders and all of the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Now I'm going to try to back into this because he starts reaching back in verse 20. He mentions that God of peace. You know, I begin to think about that. Brother Joy, we've went through that teaching. If you are a child of God, you should daily be pursuing peace. Why? He mentions it here. He said, the God of peace. You go look through Scripture. You Google it. All through Scripture, the same God of peace that was in the garden that wanted that peace and that harmony and fellowship with Adam when it was broken, he is always, from that time until now, he is pursuing peace. He led his children out of Egypt. He wanted peace. He used leaders, Moses, Joshua, in every aspect of the Old Testament we see where they are pursuing peace. Now, is there correction? Is there issues that have to be taken care of? Is there a growing process? Yes, but it was always, always this God of peace, the same God in the Old Testament. The writer says, look, it's the same God of peace that we serve today. And that same God of peace loved you so much, he begins to reach back again. He says that he brought this great shepherd. He mentions that again. I'm like, why in the world did we switch from leadership to the God of peace and this talk about the great shepherd? But he didn't switch at all about leadership. He's saying, look, I have leaders in place, and their ultimate goal is to teach you that you chase after the God of peace also. And that also they serve the great shepherd. Yes, they have been called to the ministry, but they choose to serve you. I'll take a side note here, and I didn't have this in my notes. Brother Joey's been here 17 years as senior pastor. You know, the average stay of a pastor now is like 1.8 years. And I'll tell you, with our complete staff, there is no agenda. The only agenda that has ever been here, and I applaud him for teaching and serving this church, his ultimate goal is for us to grow spiritually. And, you know, I'll just say this. There's been several times he could have left. You see, God calls men to the ministry. He didn't call me to Malvern. He gives us choice, just like he gives you choice. And Joey several times has been called, and he chooses to stay here because he loves you. He loves this body. And so in the hard times, in the difficult times, he says these men, they need to look like the God of peace. He mentions the great shepherd. He's reaching back into John 10 where Jesus is teaching the Pharisees. They just don't get it, do they? Jesus says, look, the shepherd, he tends his sheep. He looks after his sheep. He feeds his sheep. He teaches. He leads them to water. He protects them. He tells a story of a shepherd who, either in a cave or in the sheepfold, they would build these fence-type structures with briars and things. And he says, look, the good shepherd, he's at the door guarding the sheep. See, any other way that you come in, or if there's anyone else, a hireling, they won't do that. He says the great shepherd, not only he guards the sheep, not only will he go after the one sheep that is strayed away, he says, I will give my life. And Jesus says, I am the door. I am the great shepherd. So in this text, talking about loyalty and maturity, we need to understand that Jesus is teaching here that these leaders, they need to have their conduct in order where they are always chasing after the great shepherd, because in return, God has given us authority. And what I mean by that, authority to teach, a privilege to teach and preach. And sometimes that means that it's tough. Sometimes it means that we are protecting you. Many times it means that there are things going on that you may not know about. But you have to trust your pastoral staff. Why? Because they're protecting you. I've thought about this passage much, and it brings up again this flock and this pastoring mentality. In Acts chapter 20, we're not going to read it. Just go read it later. Apostle Paul, he's getting ready to leave, and he had spent several years there at Ephesus, and he travels in, and he's teaching. He says, look, I want you to go get the elders. Go get those men that are elders, the pastors, those that are there leading, and bring them to me. I want to talk to them before I leave, because he says, I'm probably not going to make it back. I'm heading to Jerusalem. And if you go over there and look and read, I'll just read this to you real quick. He says, be on guard. He brings these men and he says, be on guard for yourselves and for the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Listen, this eternal covenant, the great shepherd, that eternal covenant, he's reaching back into Hebrews 6. He says, God loves you so much, the God of peace, he sent the great shepherd to die for an eternal covenant, a contract that is permanent. It's better. And he says, because that great shepherd gave his life for you, and you leaders, you conduct yourself a certain way. You now guard the flock. We are in this together. It's permanent. We love each other. We pursue God. We pursue peace. And Paul says, look, you're now overseers. It is purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. He goes on and says, look, I know that when I leave, there are wolves going to come in and try to rip this apart. Don't think for a moment that the staff that is here at some point, look, we're not all young anymore, right? Hopefully God is using us and using you to prepare up new leaders to come up. Because sometime, at some point, it's going to be like Apostle Paul here where he says, look, you know that I've not had an agenda. I've not went after your gold, your silver, your clothing. He says, my ultimate goal is to grow you spiritually and for you to mature. And those elders, those leaders loved him so much, it says that it grieved them, and they put their arms around Paul because they loved him so much because he poured into their life. You see, it goes both ways. That's why you have men here that they love God and they serve him, and look, they're just doing the best that they can. They're doing all that they can do. And it's not an easy choice. In verse 18, he says, pray for us. It's imperative. He says, because we are choosing to do the best we can to live honorably. And listen, you need to pray for your leaders. Because we have the same temptations. We have the same family issues that you have. We have all of those things of life going on. We have babies. We have all those things that take place in life that can get in the way. And if we're not careful, we also can get off track. And he says, so it's imperative that your leaders, that you pray for them, you lift them up, you check on them. You see, many times we always say, would you pray for me, Pastor? Would you pray for me? Will you pray for my family? Will you pray for this? And yes, we do. That's what we do. But also, the writer here, some people think it's Luke. The writer here says, look, you pray for those leaders. You pray for those because they chose this position. God called them, and they answered the call. You go reading Scripture, Apostle Paul, he teaches all the time. He says, there are many that walked away. Listen, I'll tell you from an associate standpoint here at this church, you have a group of men that love you. We love you. We want to see you grow. We want to see you mature. And I'll tell you this, in this congregation here, my age and older, we're not going to see what God's going to do with this church, most likely. It's the next generation that's really going to take this church and move it even further and further and further. But that's only going to happen if we trust our leadership. Our leadership then can trust you to grow and go out and lead others to Christ. And then you begin the discipleship process. You begin to mature people. You do the same process. It all comes full circle. That's why the writer says we have a good conscience. We've chosen this. We're trying to live honorably. And that's what we're trying to do. And God has placed men to shepherd you, to look after you, to watch over you. So again, when we understand that we have the God of peace, he sent the great shepherd for this eternal covenant that cannot be broken, and it's permanent. Listen, we're in this together. We're in it together. If you're a child of God, we are together. And when you understand that, and you understand that God is a God of peace, that you are pursuing that at all cost. At all cost. You know, between your brother, your sister, if there's argument, does it really matter in the grand scheme of things? What color the carpet is? Any of those things that most churches fight over? No, and thank God we've gotten out of that here at this church. There's churches all over that are stomping ants in a snake pit, and they're dying left and right. Listen, I am proud of our church, but now we can't let up. And to our staff, I'll address them next service. The writer here is saying, look, your conduct has to line up also. Don't think that for a moment that there's not elders here at this church that don't come to us and say, listen, put your arm around, hey, your attitude, it kind of stinks, Brother John. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know why I can accept that from someone here that is more mature? Because I know their conduct. I know that they're living for Christ. And listen, it goes both ways. We pray for each other. We build each other up. We serve each other because we know we have that eternal covenant. We have a contract. You signed it. Young lady's coming for baptism today. And I told her, I said, listen, are you agreeing to this? Because you have agreed that you're a child of God. You're about to paint a picture, which all of you here have painted. You said you're a part of this body. You're going to serve. You're going to learn. And you're going to go out. You're going to spread the gospel. You're going to bring others into this body. Again, it's not the staff's job to build this church. It's your job. It's our job to teach those that you bring here and help disciple those children, right? You agreed to it. So if you agreed to it, then we pursue that together. We have peace. We work together. We strive together. We pick each other up. One last note, and it kind of goes with this. That heart of love and the writer's wanting to be with it. He says, listen, Timothy's coming to you. That's a good thing, right? But he says, pray for me too. He says, I want to get released. He says, I want to come be with you. That says the heart of a church when you want to be together. Amen? You see, when you're praying for each other, you can't pray for something you're not going to pray for something and wish it would fail. And I want to commend you. The last few weeks, and again, I may not mention this sex service, I may. You just sent a group of men to Peru to teach pastors. You're doing what you can do, and you're trusting the staff to do what they can do. I talked to some of the pastors, and Brother Doug and us kept mentioning, listen, it's an expensive thing. We had to teach them. In Peru, they think we're rich, and by all means, we are rich. But I told the one group, I said, listen, we have people back home that are working 60 to 80 hours a week, or they're on fixed incomes, and they gave a lot of money for us to come and teach. They trust us. A boy from Gifford, Arkansas, that would never have the means to come here, they have enough trust in me to send me here to teach you. Guys, that's huge. And listen, I'm begging you, you need to pray for us. Pray for us, you guard us, you protect us, you watch after us, and we will watch after you. We will teach you. But the thing is so that we can all go together and go out and reach Malvern, Arkansas. We can go to Peru, Solomon Islands, wherever God sends us. We are all together doing this together. That's what it's about. Pursuing peace, the God of peace, reconciling people back to God. That's what this is about. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day, and I thank you for this church. I thank you for this letter, Father. Father, all of us here that we're in this sanctuary together, we lift up our church, what we're doing here in this community and around the world. Father, we pray that it's for your honor and glory. Father, I pray that you protect our staff, that we never get that selfish mentality or that holier than thou, I'm up on a pedestal, Father, but that we are humble and that we study and that we teach and that we give, and that we do all that we can do, and it's all for your honor and glory because we love each other. We are pursuing peace together. We have that eternal contract, that covenant that we have agreed to serve you together. Again, we praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.